Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house. Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, while our gospel account of the resurrection rotates every year on Easter Sunday, when it comes to the second Sunday of Easter, it's always the same. It's this gospel lesson from John, and the infamous phrase, "Doubting Thomas," comes from this. That we often say in our culture. And I wonder if the creators of the lectionary made this a fixed passage in our three-year lectionary cycle for theological purposes, but also maybe to give clergy a break coming off Holy Week. Maybe it's chronological because it is a week after the resurrection in John's Gospel. But on Easter Sunday, we focused on Colossians chapter 3, and it invited us to think about what it means to be raised with Christ as a present reality, and how that orients us to the way of Jesus. And this text does that. It's inviting us to do just that. How can we truly embody what it means to be heaven and earth people, to be an Easter people in a Good Friday world? Does a wounded, crucified, and risen Lord make a difference in your life. Because we live in a world that often does not embody the way of peace. If we're fortunate enough, we can lock ourselves away behind closed doors. We can escape all of it. We don't have to listen to the news. We don't have to turn on the TV. If we're fortunate and privileged enough, by the way, we can stay in our own bubble. We don't have to deal with all the things that we're afraid of outside in the world that lacks peace, a world filled with fear. For the disciples, it doesn't seem like their situation has changed at all, the way they're behaving, even though they have gotten word that Jesus has been raised from the dead, that the tomb is empty. They're locking themselves away in a house. And you've heard me say this often. It doesn't make sense for Christians in our society to respond to our world with fear and hate. Not only for the obvious reasons of hypocrisy, the obvious reasons of not listening to the words of Jesus, but also if we are raised with Jesus, that the resurrection makes a difference in the present, as much as it does in the future, then for any Christian to live in this world with a spirit of fear and hate is the antithesis of what it means to be a follower of Christ and what it means to be joined to him in his resurrection. It is being paralyzed with fear that keeps us not only from living in the world as we lock ourselves away, but it prevents us from engaging others in the world with love, because we're too consumed with our fear. We've convinced ourselves to be afraid of the very neighbors that God has called us to love and serve. Now, I was talking to some colleagues earlier this week, and we wondered and pondered why we have a tendency to focus so much on the consequences of sin, but not on the consequences of resurrection. And John chapter 20 gives us a consequence of the resurrection that applies to our very lives today, as individuals and as the church. We hear Jesus say, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Jesus breathes on them. Jesus breathes on us the Holy Spirit. And during Holy Week, I had mentioned that an image of the Holy Trinity that I really love is the Trinity as lover, beloved, and the love that is shared in between them. That the love that is shared between the Father and the Son is now being breathed on us, the disciples and followers of Jesus Christ, the church of every time and every place. And as a result, we are incorporated into communion with the living God, knowing that our wounded, crucified, and risen Christ is with us. We know that there is peace, even as we live in a world filled with fear and despair. We are to embody that peace in the face of hate, and to share love when confronted with fear. And we may live in a society, as theologians like Martin E. Marty say, everything is permitted and nothing is forgiven. Everything is permitted and nothing is forgiven. What a time it is to be the church then. To go out into the world and to tell those who are locked in and held captive by their sins of the past and present that all of us can be brought into communion with the living God. The world can be a harsh place. The world can isolate us. The world can be unforgiving. But Jesus breathes on us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus gives us the ability and the invitation and the reminder that you're always welcome home. That I am here always to welcome you back and to embrace you with open arms. You are always welcome to come home. And that is the message we carry out into the world. For we are brought to new life. We experience the freedom from our sin and liberated
as we are liberated from the oppressive forces of this world. We receive the Spirit, and we see the difference that our wounded, crucified, and risen Lord makes in our lives. We don't contain that to ourselves. We share that difference in the world. For the wounds of Christ are the marks of a world that is locked in with fear. The wounds of Christ are reminders of how that fear can be unleashed with violence, often on the innocent and marginalized. But Jesus does not respond from receiving those wounds, from dying on the cross, with violence or vengeance. He appears to these disciples with a message of peace and forgiveness. He shows them a new way to break the cycle of a world that is trapped in fear, violence, death, and destruction. He shows us a way of peace, mercy, forgiveness, and life in abundance. This loving response that comes from the God who is love wants us to have life and not death. And we must give people that we encounter the peace that they need in this turbulent world. Some need food. Some need clothing. Some need prayer. Everybody needs different things at different times. And the peace that we receive from Christ is calling us to be peacemakers. As a colleague of mine pointed out this week, Jesus prayed with some folks. He fed others. He washed some disciples' feet. And then he let Mary wash his. He saved one woman from death by writing in the sand and preaching to the crowd. He brought a different person back to life with words alone and then encouraged the community to step up and finish the work of healing. And following the way of Jesus and following the way of peace, we're going to go out into the world that can be hostile and embody the presence of Christ who is with us and to be that people of peace, giving them what they need. Everybody needs different things. Even in the gospel accounts, Mary heard the voice and she knew. She needed to hear. Thomas needed to see. Right? And I think the tradition has it where Thomas, he goes out to India to preach. Imagine that gift that Thomas now had as people are telling him, like, I don't know. I need this in order to believe. And Thomas could be like, I understand. I've been there. I got you. This is what happened with me. Right? We all get what we need, and we need as the church to go out and give people what they need in order that they can encounter the peace that surpasses all understanding. We know that Christ is with us when we gather around word and sacrament that fills us with God's peace. For at the Lord's table, we continue to encounter the crucified and risen Christ. And like Thomas and the disciples, we hear the words, "Take and eat, this is my body." And like Thomas and the others, we become the body of Christ. For we are sent into the world to be a people of peace, to flourish God's love in the world, to become signposts of the kingdom of heaven. The resurrection makes a difference in our lives today, as it holds to the promise of the resurrection that it has for us in the future. Then this wounded, crucified, and risen Christ is going to show up when we gather together as church. And this wounded, crucified, and risen Christ is going to show up in the world when we go out. When we go out to serve. Living out the various vocations God has called us to live into. Through the sacrament of holy baptism. You're not alone. We're not alone. Christ is promising to be with us. To show up in those places. We have nothing to fear. Which is why we can see in the good news that those disciples don't stay locked up in that room, right? They know Christ is with them as they are sent out. So the Father has sent me, so I send you. No longer do we expect the world to simply adhere to our witness and then fill our pews. We're to go out. We are sent into this world to show up in the world as people of peace. To be that Easter people in a Good Friday world, ready to share the love of Jesus. Being raised with Christ means that we know God's abiding presence and that we are joined to that. Being raised with Christ means that in receiving the Spirit, we're given the ability to share God's love and to announce God's forgiveness. And this isn't a passive spectator sport. When we receive the good news, we're called to participate in the life of our wounded, crucified, and resurrected Lord. We are to move out into the world in peace with the peace of Christ, who is wounded, crucified, and risen, seeking to alleviate the pain of those who are suffering, love those who are hurting, and forgive those who long for reconciliation, and then to guide all people into the way of peace. Thanks be to God. Amen.